إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا فأما بعد My dear brothers and sisters I've changed the order of the khutbah today because of all that is happening and I think it's important to talk about that so inshallah We will continue from next Jumaa with the series that we were doing with the lessons from Surah Luqman, inshallah. But today I want to talk about the things that are happening before us and which, thanks to the internet, we cannot escape news of this. Even if like me, you refuse to watch the absolutely harrowing videos and the messages because it just destroys your heart and doesn't seem to do anything else. Despite that, you know it's going on. So even if you did not watch the actual video, even if you did not listen to the actual voice of the person, you can't say, I did not know what's happening. You can't say, I don't know what's happening. You know what is happening. Particularly what is happening in Syria, in Aleppo, but also what is happening all over the world. And there is only one word to describe that, and that word is injustice. What is happening across the world is injustice. And the thing to understand about injustice is that injustice to one is injustice to all. There is no special grade or standard of injustice to Muslims, which is different from injustice to Jews, which is different from injustice to Christians, which is different from injustice to atheists, which is different from injustice to blacks and whites and men and women and gender and whatnot, nothing. There is one standard of injustice, and that is that injustice to one is injustice to all. Nobody can escape this particular fact. I say this to you because we seem to be living in this world as if we are unconscious or insane or dead. There is no other way to describe the way in which we are living in this world. I say that because as long as we have sanity and consciousness, as long as we have sanity and consciousness, we have choice. We have choice. There is no situation, without exception, where a person who is sane and who is conscious does not have choice. Even if the person is completely paralyzed from head to toe, cannot move, cannot speak, but is sane and has consciousness, that person has choice. The person has a choice to connect with Allah. The person has a choice to make tawbah. The person has a choice to wipe out every single evil thing that he or she did in this life and to enter into Jannah without hisab. While on the face of it, in the eyes of people, that person is totally paralyzed from head to toe. So as long as you have life, which is consciousness, as long as you have not become unconscious, and as long as you and I have sanity, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always keep us in this state until we die, we have choice. And that is the reason why we will be questioned about our choice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not ask us what happened. Allah will ask us, what did you do? Allah will not ask us what happened. Allah will ask us, what did you do? My brothers and sisters, I say to you and I remind myself that there are two realities of life. One which I mentioned already, that we have choice. And the second one, that every choice has two consequences. Every single choice, every single thing that we choose to do or we choose not to do. Choosing not to act is a choice. Choosing not to speak is a choice. Choosing not to decide is a choice. You have decided when you chose not to decide. Every living, sane person has a choice, and every choice has two consequences. One in this dunya and the other one in the akhirah. There is a difference between these two consequences. And the difference is, one of these consequences is small in comparison to the other, and it is temporary, whereas the other one is permanent. The consequence of the choice, whatever the choice may be, in this dunya, is small. Good or bad, if the consequence is small, if the consequence is wealth and health and power and pleasure and influence, whatever is dear to you, whatever you get as a consequence of that choice in this dunya is small, it is minute, it is minuscule in comparison to what the same choice will give you in the akhirah. For the same action, for exactly the same action, no difference. As I mentioned in the last Jummah, you say Subhanallah, and there are two consequences, one in the dunya, one in the akhirah. You give 1 rupee in charity, two consequences, one in the dunya, one in the akhirah. You pray 2 rakat of salah, two consequences, one in the dunya, one in the akhirah. You smile at somebody, two consequences, one in the dunya, one in the akhirah. Every single thing, two consequences, one in the dunya, one in the akhirah. The consequence in the dunya is small, minuscule, minute, compared to the consequence in the akhirah. And the consequence in the dunya is temporary. It's a few seconds long, it's a few hours long, it's a few days long, a few months long, a few years long. That's it. And then it finishes. The good will finish, the pleasure will finish, the pain will finish, the suffering will finish, everything will finish. But the consequence in the akhirah, if it is good, it is forever. If it is not good, it is forever. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from the evil consequences in this dunya wal akhirah. Because what starts, death is not the cessation of life. Death is the cessation of choice. Zindagi ke khatam hone ke ka naam maut nahi hai. Ikhtiyar ke khatam hone ka naam maut hai. Death is not the cessation of life. Death is not the cessation or the ending of existence. Death is the cessation of choice. Once we see Malakul Maut, once the curtain is lifted, then our eyes will open. The eyes of the body will be closed, but the real eyes will be opened. Death is not sleep. Death is awakening. We are asleep now. The intelligent ones wake up before they are woken up. When Rasulullah ﷺ said that the most intelligent one of you is the one who remembers his death more often, he was not saying the most intelligent one of you is the one who is most morbid, constantly talking about death. No. He said he is most intelligent because he has opened his eyes before his eyes are going to be opened, because the eyes of everyone will be opened one day. So the consequences in the akhirah, forever. One of my clients in South Africa, very, very big business family, billionaires, hundreds of stores all over the country. And as it happens, may Allah protect us, but we seem to convert wealth into a curse. Instead of wealth being a means of earning Jannah. In many cases, you can say very clearly that it would have been much better for that person to be poor. Much better. Far, far, far better. Because it's the wealth which they have chosen to light the fire of Jahannam with. So this family fell into a dispute. The father died. And the children, the brothers, I think the couple of sisters, the mother, they fell into a dispute on property because there was wealth. If there was no property, they would have lived together happily as a family. But because there was property now, and of course Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the sharia, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said very clearly who must get what. But we are not happy with that. And so, cases against each other. Brother against brother, brother against sister, sons against the mother. So when I heard about that, my first question was, who's the lawyer? Is he a Muslim or a non-Muslim? And mercifully, they said to me, he's a non-Muslim. And I was surprised because there's some very big, smart, very intelligent Muslim lawyers in the country who I know very well. So I said, how come you didn't go to so-and-so? They said, we went. So that was the first person we went to. So I said, what did he do? He said, he kicked us out. He kicked us out. He said, why? I mean, that guy is expensive. So I said, you weren't willing to pay his fees. No. Money is nothing. So why did he throw you out? He said, Allah and His Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they say, do not destroy the relationship of the rahim. And you want me to help you to destroy that? He said, no. You want to go to Jahannam? Please, most welcome. No shortage of real estate in the hellfire. Please go on your own. I am not going to facilitate you are going to Jahannam, because if I facilitate that, then I am with you. So I said, wow, wallah, that Muslim lawyer, I always knew the guy was smart. I didn't know he was this smart. I mean, that is real smartness. The man, so I said, man, you know, and he's not talking, we're not even talking about thousands of rand. We're talking about literally hundreds of thousands of rand. So I said, the man, he kissed it goodbye. He said, yeah, he didn't just kiss it goodbye. He practically kicked us out of his house, out of his office. He said, get out of here. I don't want to see your face. You want to file a suit against your mother, go do it on your own. Rasulullah, a man came to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said, Ya Rasulullah, I carried my mother for Hajj on my back. The entire Hajj, and remember, we're not talking about carrying my mother, meaning up to the airport, to the boarding gate, and then the wheelchair, and then from there. No, he's talking about walking. He's talking about carrying his mother from where he was to Hajj, to Makkah, to all the arkan of Hajj, and Tawaf, and Sa'i, and Arafat, and Muzdalifah, and Mina, and everything. Have I repaid her? The man says, I carried my mother on my back for Hajj, the entire Hajj. Have I repaid what I owe to my mother? I'm not talking property dispute, I'm talking about reality. Huh? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the fact that you carried your mother on your back for the entire Hajj did not even repay one birth pain that she had when she was bearing you. Not even one scream, not even one contraction, not even one pain was repaid by you carrying your mother on your back for the entire Hajj. Forget about repaying your mother. You can repay your mother? A man came to Rasulullah Sallam and complained and said, "Ya Rasulullah, my father," he said, "I keep my money in my thobe pocket and I hang up the thobe in my room, and my father wants to go somewhere, he puts his hand in the pocket, takes the money and goes away. And I, thinking the money is there, I go and in the market, I put my hand in my pocket and there's no money. It's very embarrassing for me. Please tell my father not to touch my money without asking me." Rasulullah said, "Call the father." He called the father. Nabi said to the son in front of the father, he said, "You want me to tell your father not to touch your money without asking you?" The son said, "Yes, Ya Rasulullah." Nabi said, "Listen." He said, "I am saying to you that if your father takes you, not your money, your father takes you physically, your body, and sells you in the marketplace as a slave, that is his right. That is his right." He said, "Your father owns you, and your father owns everything you own. And he can take whatever he wants, whenever he wants, without asking anything from you. You want to have a dispute of property with your father and your mother? Then prepare for yourself. Choose your place in Jahannam." Why am I saying this? Because we like to talk about what's happening in Aleppo. What's happening in Aleppo is injustice. What is happening in your home is injustice. And there is no difference. They make a choice and you make a choice. They will pay and you will pay. And their helpers will pay and your helpers will pay. So be careful. Be careful before you decide to help somebody in doing something which leads to Jahannam. Because just as those people in Aleppo and just as the soldiers of Hitler who killed the millions of Jews and just as the soldiers of Genghis Khan who killed and destroyed two civilizations and just as the soldiers of this one and that one who are doing it till today, just as they will not be able to wash their hands of responsibility and say that our leaders ordered us to do that, so also you will not be able to wash your hands of your responsibility and say, "I was only doing a job. I took a fee. I was ordered. I was an employee. My boss told me." No, sorry. Doesn't work. Does not work. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Araf very clearly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Araf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that when it will be said to them, "Enter the fire," they will send la'anat on the people before them. And they will say, "Oh Allah, it is because of our leaders. It is because of our bosses. It is because of our employers. It is because of our kings and queens and our presidents and so on. It is because of our advisors. It is because of these people that we did wrong." So double their punishment in the fire. They will curse the leaders. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says their punishment and your punishment both are doubled. Allah will not say, "Oh, is that right? Oh, I didn't realize that. You know, you were not on your own. After all, you were an employee. So, okay, you are out here and let your employer go into the fire. Oh, I'm sorry. You know, I didn't realize that you are only a soldier. And you pulled the trigger, but you know, what could you do? Your boss told you to shoot the innocent person." No. No way. Doesn't work. We all make choices. And every single choice has a consequence. And not to choose also has a consequence. My brothers and sisters, today we live in a world where we like to believe that leaders are powerful and that we are helpless. But let me tell you, every leader's power comes from that final person who carries out the order. What would Genghis Khan be if his soldiers refused to kill innocent people? he would be one mad Mongol. Period. What would Hitler have been able to do? Did Hitler actually physically kill any Jew? Not to my knowledge. Not to my knowledge. So who killed the 6 million people? If Hitler did not do that, who killed? The individual German soldier. The individual German individual who took that choice, who made that choice. And remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always sets standards. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always closes the door of the one who says, I am sorry, I was helpless. Because in the same time, in the same situation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates examples of people who stood up and said, sorry, I'm not doing this. And if there is a price to pay, I will pay the price, but I will not do this. And therefore, at the same time, we have the example of the Imam of the Grand Mosque in Paris, who saved hundreds of people. We have the example of so many other people, German people, French people, British people. We have people who are in the SS in Hitler's Nazi party, who refused to carry out his orders. In every time you will see this. That's why I say read history. There will always be people who make intelligent choices. I gave you the example of my friend who refused to take that very lucrative case. That's like a dowry, you know, I mean, it'll last forever. And you keep getting your fees. What more do you want? He said, no, sorry. What was he doing? Making an intelligent choice. Very intelligent choice. My brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you, let us make intelligent choices. Because we will pay. You will pay and I will pay no matter what. Make no mistake. Make no mistake. We need to make intelligent choices. It was this understanding, this is the key message of Islam. Choose. If the message of Islam can be expressed in one word, that word is choose. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called his book Al-Furqan, the criterion on which to choose, the criterion on which the choice should be based. Allah called it Al-Furqan, the criterion, the separator of good from evil, of right from wrong. Choose. And so we must choose. It was this understanding of an intelligent choice that enabled Sumayya bint Khayyat radiallahu anha to make a choice. And she refused to be intimidated by Abu Jahl. And she paid the price. And what was the price? The consequence of the dunya was shahada. What is the consequence in the dunya of that shahada? That her name will be taken till the end of time with great honor. And nobody with any haya, nobody with any sense, no Muslim with any dignity will say Sumayya without saying radiallahu anha. And the consequence in the akhirah, only her Rabb knows Jalla Jalalu. Only her Rabb knows Jalla Jalalu. The first shaheed in Islam is an African black woman. First shaheed is a black African woman, a freed slave. That was the understanding which enabled her husband, Abu Yasir, Abu Ammar, Yasir Abu Ammar, radiallahu anhu, to join her in her choice. It was this understanding of choice and the consequences that enabled Suhaib Ar-Rumi, radiallahu anhu, to give up his entire wealth in exchange for the freedom to go and join Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Medina. And it was on this basis that when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw him, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sent Jibreel alaihi salam with the information about what choice he made, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, "What a bargain." He said, "You made a bargain." He lost his entire wealth. What is the meaning of losing your entire wealth? Huh? One demonetization has given sleepless nights to people. What is the meaning of losing entire wealth? It means literally that you have only the clothes on your body. It means that you actually do not know where your next meal is going to come from. And for someone who had wealth to reach that stage itself, psychologically it's a shock. And the Prophet ﷺ said, "What a bargain." How is it a bargain? How is it a bargain? It's a bargain only if you realize what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, where he said, "Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu hal adullukum ala tijaratin tunjikum min azabin aleem." Allah said, "Oh, you believe, shall I show you a trade? Shall I show you a tijara? Shall I show you a business which will deliver you from eternal punishment?" It was this understanding which enabled Abu Dahda al-Ansari radiallahu anhu to pay with his entire source of livelihood, his entire date garden, and he had nothing else, of 650 bearing date palms in exchange for one date tree. So were these smart decisions or were these dumb decisions? My brothers and sisters, it's not a matter of you saying yes, it is a smart decision, or me saying yes, it's a smart decision. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests. Allah tests. If it is a smart decision, if you and I think that these decisions are smart decisions, then we have to prove that by taking such decisions in our lives. If we don't do that, then we will be branded as liars before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to walk our talk. There is no alternative. And if we do that, then we, inshallah, will be with the ones about whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "As-sabiquna al-awwaluna min al-muhajirin wal-ansari wal-lazina taba'hum bi-ihsan radiyallahu anhum wa radu anhu." Do you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu for this statement of radiyallahu anhu wa radu anhu? Do you want this to apply to you? Do you want the malaika to say that this is the one with whom Allah is pleased and he is pleased with Allah? It was this understanding that Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked for donations for Tabuk, he brings literally every single thing he had, including the clothes on his body. And he wears a sack instead of those clothes. And it is this understanding, the radiallahu anhu and radu an, where Jibreel alayhi salam was sent, and Jibreel came, radiallahu salam, came with the question. And what was the question that Nabi sallallahu alayhi salam was asked by Jibreel alayhi salam? Jibreel alayhi salam came and said, "Ya Rasulullah, your Rabb wants to know, and Allah knows without asking. This is the honor that Allah is doing to his slave, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu." Jibreel salam says, "Ya Rasulullah, ask your friend Abu Bakr. Your Rabb wants to know whether Abu Bakr is pleased with him." Ha! Huh? Your Rabb wants to know, Jalla Jalalu, whether Abu Bakr is pleased with him. You want to be with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu? You want to be with Umar and Uthman and Talha and Zubair and Abu Dahda and Sa'd bin Mu'ad and Sa'd bin Jabal and Mu'ad bin Jabal
And with Sumayya, and with Khadija, and with Aisha, and with Zainab, and with Fatima, radiallahu anhum ajma'in. I am not promising you anything, believe me, I have no power to promise you anything. I am only telling you what your Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu said to you. What did he say? As-sabiqoon al-awwaloon. Min al-muhajirin wal-ansar. Who are they? They are all the ones I named. And others. As-sabiqoon al-awwaloon. Not just the Sahaba. Among the Sahaba, the best of the best. As-sabiqoon al-awwaloon min al-muhajirin wal-ansar. والذين اتبعهم بإحسان. ارے کیسے شکر کرو گے اس رب کا جس نے یہ دروازہ کھلا رکھا. How will you thank that Rabb who left that door open for you and me? اگر اللہ بند کرتے دروازہ تو کیا کر لیتے؟ If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had shut this door, what would you have done? Allah left the door open. السابقون الأولون من المهاجرين والأنصار والذين اتبعهم بإحسان. والذين اتبعهم بإحسان. Who are they? The ones who make the choices. The ones who make the choices. In the same way that they made the choices. And they will be with them. May Allah make you among those who will be with the sabiqoon al-awwaloon, min al-muhajirin wal-ansar. And remember, my dua is worthless unless you and I act. Please don't think that I'm making this dua, you say, I mean, it is khalas. No! You have to make the choices. I have to make the choices. We have to do or undo whatever we did. If we want to be with the sabiqoon al-awwaloon min al-muhajirin wal-ansar wal-ladhina taba'hum bi-ihsan radiyallahu anhum wa radu'an.
My brothers and sisters, let me give you examples of people who exercise their choice. Take the example of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu. What was his intention when he left with his sword in his hand when he went to find Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? But when he understood the issue from his sister radiallahu anha, what did he do? He exercised his choice, and Umar ibn al-Khattab became Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, one of the greatest khulafa of this deen. What were the choices that people exercised? Take the man who went out hunting for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam when Abu Bakr Siddiq and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam were making hijrah. He went, his lance in his hand, and he, when Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu saw him, he said to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, this man is coming and his intentions are not good. There was a price on the head of both Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, dead or alive. This man was going to collect his price. Now instead of that, what happened to him? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua. What was the action of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? His action was to make dua. And when he made dua, the hooves of the horse sank in the sand and the man fell off. This happened 3 times. The man could have continued or the man could have simply gone back, but he did not do that. He went to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He met him and he said, Ya Rasulullah, this happened to me. I believe that you are the truth. Now tell me, how can I help you? And the man helped Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The people who came searching for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with evil intention, this man turned them aside. Yeah, my brothers and sisters, there are so many examples in the lives of the Sahaba and the Salihin of people who exercise choice, of people who decided to stand up against injustice and who, within quotes, paid a price in this world. But as I explained to you, the price they paid in this world is not a price. It is an investment that they made in the Akhirah. And that investment is an investment which will yield rewards and results forever and ever. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those who make these investments.
So given the situation that we have today, and understanding what I said about choice, what is it that you and I can do? Once again, 2 things. Number one, make tawbah and bring about changes in your life and my life to bring our lives in line with the orders of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu and the Sunnah of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
First point, bring your life in line with the orders of Allah. As I told you, it's a choice. Choose to do it or choose not to do it. Both are choices. I am not forcing you, I cannot even force you. I have no power over you. I'm talking to myself. Bring your life in order, in line with the orders of Allah. Do what you need to do, undo what you need to undo. Or wait until you meet Malakul Maut. And that can be faster than you and I can believe. First and foremost. So make tawbah, make those changes. For some of us, it's a very simple change of praying 5 times a day regularly, or coming to the masjid, or praying Salat al-Fajr in the masjid, and so on and so forth. For other people, it will be choices with regard to our earnings, with regard to what we eat, with regard to how and what we spend. Yesterday, somebody sent me a news item of this Hindu guy who, in his daughter's wedding, instead of spending money on the wedding, he built 90 houses for slum dwellers. When are we going to see a Muslim doing this? What happened to the youth? Why don't you stand up and say, and believe me, you are responsible. It is your marriage. It's not your father's marriage. You are responsible. When will you stand up and say to your father and mother, I don't want any of this. I want my wedding according to the Sharia of Islam. And the money that you set aside for my wedding, I want to give this money in charity. Because believe me, that one day or 2 days, or may Allah protect us and forgive us in this, in Hyderabad, we do it for 7 days. We want to make sure absolutely that we have all the proof against us when we stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is going to prove very expensive. Very expensive. So bring your life in line with the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the sunnah of His Habib Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And the second thing to do is to make dua. You want to help the people of Syria? Make dua. Do everything else. Do whatever else you can do within the law of the country that you live in. Breaking the law of the country, first of all, is haram. Secondly, it does not help anybody. It doesn't help those people. Doesn't help you. Doesn't help Islam. And therefore, it is an entirely and completely stupid thing to do. So never break any laws. But within the law of the country, whatever you can do, you do it. But one thing you can do, and I can do, and we should do, which is to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Because only Allah can do la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the complete and total yaqeen that only Allah can help, and only Allah can help. Make this dua. And what is the best time to make this dua? In tahajjud. In sujood. So make tahajjud fard on yourself. If you are serious about what is happening in Syria and you want to do something, if you are serious about whatever oppression and injustice is happening in the world and you want to do something and you are not praying tahajjud, I say to you that you are lying to yourself. Anyone who says he is serious about anything in life, I'm talking about Muslims. If you're serious about your career and you're not praying tahajjud, you're not serious. If you're serious about the upbringing of your children and you're not praying tahajjud, you're not serious. If you're serious about your exams and you're not praying tahajjud, you're not serious. You are fooling yourself. Nobody else. Make tahajjud fard on yourself. Pray tahajjud and make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, who is the only one who can help, to help the people, the oppressed people in Syria, in Yemen, in Iraq, in Afghanistan, in Kashmir, in wherever they are. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help the ones who are oppressed and make dua against the ones who are oppressing, whoever they might be. Please remember, the people killing the Muslims in Syria, who are they?
Zionists, BJP, RSS, American soldiers? Who are they? Muslims. Muslims. May Allah save us from ourselves. Make dua. And then come to the masajid and pray Salatul Fajr by Jama'ah and request the Imam to pray Qunut and Nazila in the Salah. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did this. He used to do this in one time, he did it 1 month together, continuously. To pray Qunut and Nazila, request the Imam, and the Imam knows best, and inshallah he will do it for you. But come to the masjid, don't sit at home and tell them, when you are praying, pray Qunut Nazila. I'll pray at home or I'll sleep. Do that. And understand the power. Imagine, I'm not joking, this is not, we are so disconnected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we consider dua to be some worthless thing. We don't say it in so many words, but you know, our attitude towards dua is, kya dua ich kar sakte na? What kind of statement is that? The one thing which can actually change destiny, you consider it to be some worthless thing, which is really, you know, what's the point? Come to the masajid, fill the masajid in Fajr. Let the masjid be like this as I'm seeing it now, in Salatul Fajr. Correct, bhai? Fill the masajid, wherever you are. Especially Salatul Fajr, and read Qunut Nazila. And make dua for help for the oppressed and against the oppressors. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to give us the tawfiq to make the right choices. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward you from His majesty and grace for the choices you make. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable you to give you the courage to unmake some choices that you need to unmake. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help the people of Aleppo. To help the people of Yemen, to help the people of Syria, of Sham, of Afghanistan, of Kashmir, of wherever the Muslims and the non-Muslims, whoever they are, injustice to one is injustice to all. Wherever somebody is being oppressed, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help that person and to save them from oppression. To take away their suffering, to take away their pain. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to destroy the oppressors. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to wipe the earth clean of the oppressors. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send down His malaika for the help of the people who are oppressed and against the oppressors, whoever those oppressors might be. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu, because He owns this world. He owns this small little planet which is less than a grain of sand on a beach. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to wipe the planet clean of all oppressors and injustice. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to establish justice on the face of the earth. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to be among those people who Allah will use in order to establish justice, because the alternative is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove us and bring some other people in our place who will not be like us. Read the ayat of Surah Muhammad. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.